A new love story has been published this summer. We don't use the phrase casually. Now, Bob Norris is a cowboy, albeit a cowboy who used to be the Marlboro Man. He's also a man with a stock portfolio the size of Texas. Man showed up at Mr. Norris's Colorado ranch one day looking to board several baby elephants. One elephant seemed especially shy and small, at least by the standards of being an elephant. Her mother had been killed in what's called a cull of an elephant herd on the plains of southern Africa. Something in that elephant touched Bob Norris, who asked the elephant trader, does she have a name? She did. Amy.
For once in love with Amy, always in love with Amy.
The story of the friendship that developed and sustained Bob Norris has now been told in a book, The Cowboy and His Elephant. The book is by Malcolm McPherson. And Bob Norris joins us now from the studios of Colorado Public Radio in Denver. Mr. Norris, thanks very much for being with us.
Well, thank you for inviting me. You kind of choked me up right at the start when you played that.
Yeah, well.
I did sing that to her quite often.
Well, let me ask about how this remarkable relationship developed. I guess we need to explain first, why did someone show up at your place looking to board baby elephants anyway? I mean, you're a rancher.
Well, the gentleman came into the ranch and he said he'd like to lease several stalls. And we had a cutting horse operation and mm-hmm. I said, well, we don't lease stalls out to the public. And I said, what kind of horses do you have? And he said, well, I don't have horses. And I thought, oh boy. And I said, what do you have? And he said, well, I have five baby elephants. And I said, now that is unique. So we made a deal, and he brought Amy over. Mm-hmm. And she hit me right about my belt buckle. And she is so sweet, and she had long, long eyelashes, and I just fell in love with her the first time I saw her.
She'd been traumatized, too, hadn't she?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Amy was only 9 months old when I got her, or when she came to the ranch. Mm-hmm. She was very fragile at that point and wasn't eating well and was grieving quite heavily. And so she took a lot of
grieving. She'd seen her mother killed, we imagine.
Mm, yeah. And then, you know, they captured the baby elephants and then put them in crates. And yeah. And they consequently were on an airplane heading for the United States.
Mr. Norris, let me backtrack a little bit, because we mentioned you'd once been the Marlboro Man in the intro. Bunch of, was it New York ad agency people came out to your ranch to take pictures of a bunch of New York models dressed up like the Marlboro Man, and someone turned to you and said, hey, Mr. Norris, you're kind of what we're looking for.
You know, it was Neil McBain with Leo Burnett Company out of Chicago. He looked at me and said, Norris, you're already dirty. We'll just use you. And because they took the clothes out of a trunk, you know, and they were throwing them down in the dirt, you know, kind of make them look dusty. And so that's where that got started.
But you were the Marlboro Man for a number of years.
About 12 years, yeah.
This was in the, was it the 60s?
Yeah, in the 60s. Mm-hmm. It's about 35, good Lord, going on 40 years ago.
But there came a time when you said you didn't want to do that anymore.
Yeah, my kids were saying, they're calling me a hypocrite. They're in their teens, and they said I was doing these ads and telling them not to smoke. And they said, Dad, you're a hypocrite. And said, why are you doing it? And I said, well, I guess one word. I said, greed. But when they started questioning me on it, then I decided that it's time to go another direction. Well, but I enjoyed the people. They're great people to work for, I'll say that.
Now, how did you, an accomplished horseman, go about giving an elephant what you were certain that she needed to get through? Mm-hmm.
I knew I was only over my head when I bought her as far as training goes, because you just don't ask an elephant to lie down. I've had Amy about a year, and my daughter Carol called, and she said, Daddy, said, I'm going to give you a present for your birthday. And I said, well, that's awful nice. I said, what is it? She said, I'm going to get you a trainer for Amy. And she had seen this Army McGuire on the Discovery Channel training animals and elephants, I guess. And, mm-hmm. and so, long story short, he did come, and he spent about 3 weeks at the ranch with me, and we taught her to play the piano and the harmonica and waltz and dance and all kinds of fun things.
elephants are so smart. Isn't that part of why they do feel trauma, for example, when, as Amy did, she saw her family killed?
Mm-hmm. They're very family-oriented. One time we unloaded the horse trailer down in Arizona. It was about 108 degrees, I guess, when we unloaded. And as we were unloading that, she unloaded very, very fast. And normally I don't let her unload quite that quickly. And it was hot and she was uncomfortable. I just let her go and she ran out of the trailer and ran into her stall. And we had a big tub of water there. And she ran over the tub and got a big trunk full of water. And we were standing, about six of us standing in the door watching. She turned around and sprayed us, you know, to cool us off. And then she got a second trunk full and then cooled herself off. But before she cooled herself, she cooled us off first.
There did come a time when Amy just got so large it became difficult for you to...
Mm-hmm. We traveled all over the country looking at different zoos and different parks and different things. And I was really... getting to the point where I didn't know what to do, and then I called Army McGuire, and he said, well, I really don't know what to tell you. And so about 2 weeks later, he called back, and he said, I don't know what I was thinking about, but Buckles Woodcock in Florida, he said their family have been in the circus business since the 1850s, and he said he's one of the finest elephant trainers in the world. And so he said, I'll call him. And so he did, and so we hauled her down to my son Bobby's ranch near Fort Worth, Texas. And so I did a couple of shows for autistic children there at his ranch. And after I got done with the routine, I went over and gave Amy a hug, and I said, I'm out of here. And I said, I can't stay to watch her when they come get her. So I got in the plane and flew back home. And about 3 days later, they came and picked her up. And so that's how Buckles got her.
Let me go, however, to a period about a year later. You hadn't seen her for a year, and she became a very good circus performer.
Yeah.
And you went to see her.
Well, Jane and I were late, and the circus actually had already, the lights had been dimmed, and it was very dark in there, and they knew we were coming, and they were waiting for us, and so some people guided us down to our seats right at the edge of the ring in front, and the performers came out, then the elephants came out, and then Amy came out, and they started through their routine. And I said to Jane, I wonder if she'll remember me. And about that time, she just put her trunk up in the air and kind of sniffed, and then she broke ranks, and she came right over. And came to the ring there, and the ring's about, maybe a foot and a half high. It's kind of a wide ring there. She stepped over that, and she put her head in my lap and put her trunk up to my face. But I said, honey, I think she remembers me.
Well, this was a real relationship, you and Amy.
Yeah, it was. And, It was a love story.
Yeah. Amy is doing just fine now, I gather.
Yeah, she's doing good, and right now she's in Catskill, New York, up there at the Catskill Game Farm, I believe. And then she spent the winters in January. They go back to Florida, and she kicks back and goes out the pasture there for 2 or 3 months and relaxes.
Did you see her?
Yeah, every year I try to. Last year I saw her, we walked up behind her, and she had her back to me. When I walked in the tent there where she was, she just threw her trunk back over her back and just reached for me when I walked in. So they don't forget.
I feel the need to ask a newsman's question here. Mr. Norris, what did we learn from your friendship, you and Amy?
I don't really know how to approach this, but I agree probably that the best place for, elephants are, in their home habitat.
Yeah.
But the reality of it was that there are too many elephants in Zimbabwe. They have to apparently cull the herd because of the forage. And consequently, if I hadn't, agreed to take Amy, or somebody hadn't taken Amy, they would have been killed, which would be unfortunate. I don't know if that really gets to the point of what you're asking me, but I think you come to forks in the road in life, mm-hmm. and you take them or you do nothing. I just felt the compassion and a need to take her under my wing.
Well, Mr. Norris, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Bob Norris, the book about him, The Cowboy and His Elephant, by Malcolm McPherson, St. Martin's Press.